Okay, good evening. Sorry, we're already 3 minutes behind schedule. We're only on a 25-minute share. But I really would like this week just to be really, really very much an introduction to the whole idea of Basar B'Chalav. And just the way I plan to progress through Basar B'Chalav. John, you're just the right guy for this share. I'm really gonna start all the way from the top, and hopefully quickly move our way down to the practical, real practical kitchen cases that come up all the time. But I think we have to start from the top. This week is going to be much more of, you know, conceptual, Basar B'Chalav topics, but then we'll move forward into the, you know, I once mentioned this shaila here in shul in the past that was once asked. A lady was cooking on Erev Shavuos. And naturally, she had a milchik pot, she had a fleishik pot. And what does a woman do while she cooks? She talks on the phone, right? Now, the phone, you know that phone thing where the shoulder's up and the head is leaning to the side? So her phone fell into her pot. Her phone literally fell into her pot, her dairy pot. And then the same woman didn't really get her act together all that quickly, and she allowed her phone to fall into her fleishik pot. So the question became, now is her phone milchig? Does she have a milchig phone? And perhaps now her milchig phone trafed up her fleishig pot. Right? That was the shot that was asked. So I really hope to be able to get to, you know, get down literally to the, no pun intended, the meat and potatoes of this topic, to be able to really get to how do you answer these shilas? How do we get to the answer to these shilas? But just to start off the topic, I have to start with just some general concepts of Basar B'Chalav. As is known, the pasuk of Leisavashuk Di B'Chalav Imai appears three times in the Torah. It appears in Source 1, 2, and 3, twice in Sefer Shemais, one of them in Sefer Dvarim. Two of those pasukim are identical all the way. The third one is talking about Nevela, and it transitions into the halachas of Basar B'Chalav. So again, it says, literally, do not cook a kid in its mother's milk, a goat, cook the goat in its mother's milk. It's interesting that in the Kaplan translation, Living Torah, is that what it's called? Living Torah? The Living Torah translation, I noticed that he adds in the word, even in its mother's milk, because this is, you know, one of the questions which is asked, what if it's not related? What if it's not its mother? What if it's, you know, the Pasuk says a gedi, a goat. A goat in its mother's milk. So is it specifically a goat in its mother's milk? What happens if it's a little calf in a cow's milk? Is that a problem? Clearly we know it is a problem. But he writes, he adds in the word even, and it all comes from the Gemara. The Gemara goes through it. We're not going to go through how we know, you know, how to stretch it to all different types of animals. But what we do know is that it says gedi. Gedi means meat. And we learn all kinds of meat from that. Chalav, this is one of the interesting places where we see the importance of Teresh Baal Peh. It's impossible to know if this pasuk is talking about chalav or chalav, or perhaps chalav. Maybe there's an isser for a person to cook meat in chalav. But we have Teresh Baal Peh, which teaches us that it's talking about milk, which is very important. Now, why is it saying three times? In source number 4 is a Gemara in Kalabasar and Chulin, where this is clearly the Gemara teaches us the reason for it. Rashi writes it as well, clearly getting it from the Gemara, where it says, Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, Lo Savasha Gdiba Chaliv Ima Gimel Pamim, it says three times in the Torah, do not cook milk, do not cook meat in milk. It says it three times. Why does it say three times? Echad l'sra achila, vechad l'sra anav, vechad l'sra bishul. So there are three independent isurim, three independent prohibitions with regard to Basar B'Chalav. One of them is to cook it. And cooking means regardless whether you plan to eat it. Another one is to eat it. That means even if you didn't cook it, someone else cooked it, you can't eat it. Another thing is you can't derive benefit from it. That means you can't sell it. You can't, or any other benefit from it. The million-dollar question that everyone asks, and I'm going to address it very quickly, is, so why beat around the bush? Why don't just write three, write clearly, why, right, don't cook, don't eat, or don't have enough from it. So why, hana, sometimes, perhaps we can push that one off a little bit and say, it's Torah doesn't usually write so clearly in the whole sugya and psachim, which we'll address very quickly, which talks about hana, but
I think this, if I'm not mistaken, the Sifrei, you know, predates the Mishnah. Right. There's like 10 different Mishitos about what this, right? If not,
correct. Correct.
By the time the Gemara comes around, it's only one,
right,
or two Mishitos.
Yes, that's true. That is true. But ultimately, I'm just going to present a few of the more popular explanations as to why the Torah decided to choose the words Lo Sevash L'Gadi B'Chaliv Imai. One of them, the first one that I have in the sheet is the Rambam. Rambam, it's in Machalas Sisturis, it's in Perek Tes. Halacha Aleph is where he describes what we just wrote in the Gemara. He writes in Halacha Aleph, Basar B'Chalav. So again, he skips out the word gedi, basar b'chalav, meat and milk, asr levashlei, it's forbidden to cook it, v'asr lechlei ben atera, it's asr to eat it midei raisa, v'asr b'hana, it's asr to derive benefit from it, and he goes on to speak what you do with it, v'karvenayse, v'afari asr, it needs to be buried, you can't benefit from the ashes. Now, in the next halacha, he addresses the question that we brought up, l'shasak hakasav milasr ha'achila el b'pnei sh'asr habishal. Kolemar, vafilu bishulei aser vein tzarach lemar achilas. So the way the Rambam understands it is that the Torah is telling us the biggest chiddush. The Torah just assumes that you'll think about it and you'll understand the biggest chiddush. The biggest chiddush over here is you can't even cook it. Now, if I told you you can't cook it, I don't need to spend that much time telling you you can't eat it because it's pashut. If the Torah went so far as to say that this mixture is so potent that you can't even cook it, then I have to go ahead and tell you not to eat it. That's the way the Rambam understands it.
I only need two psukim. One to teach me eating / cooking. Right?
Well, then you would... No. Then you would only say eating. How would you know eating / cooking?
Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev l'oed. Obviously eating. Pasuk 2, hana. Right?
You would never get to the hana part.
No, I'm saying...
You never get to the third one. If you only have two, so then how would you get to the hana part?
Because the first one teaches for you... One takes care of two. Eating and cooking and obviously eating, according to the Rambam's logic, and then the second pasuk takes care. Why is there a second pasuk? Well, there's
hana. No. If it only said it once,
right? Then because the Rambam just said,
right. In other words, you're saying once you tell me not to
memela, it's eating.
It's an interesting point. Right. Interesting point. Interesting point. So I'll tell you the truth. I think that the Rambam. We'll see that the chinuch is going to argue with this, and perhaps only after the pasuk says it three times is the Rambam's logic really correct. In other words, it's kind of like it would kind of be like circular reasoning to a certain extent, but the Rambam's logic will only be correct now that he knows all three things to be true. Well you'll see what I mean. In a minute. But this is a very important point to make. The Rambam understands that if you're gonna tell me that cooking it is a problem. So then you'll definitely know that eating it is a problem, which clearly means that the essence of this iser, that what stands at the helm of this iser, is eating it. Now the Torah was so makbid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so makbid, he was so careful, he wanted us to stay so far away from eating basar b'chalav, that he told us, don't even go so far as to cook this mixture. That's the way the Rambam is understanding it. And that's why the Torah used the lashon of bishul to make that point to you. To make that point, because if the Torah said, don't eat it, you never would know that it was usher to cook it. The Torah wanted you to be so careful with this, and not even to ever cook it, so the Torah had to use the words, loi sevashel. Now it's interesting, if you look in the Targum Onkelos, I believe it's in all three locations in the Torah where it says loi sevashel gedi. The translation he writes in the Targum, he writes, Lo Seichlan. Don't eat it. So why does he change? The pasuk says, Lo Sevashel Gedi. Why couldn't he just use the same words as the Torah? Don't cook it. But he goes ahead and he writes, Lo Seichlan. Don't eat it. So I believe that the truth is that it's kind of a similar idea to what I'm saying in the Rambam. Is that clearly, the way he's understanding it, like the Rambam, is that what stands with the ikar, the essence of this prohibition is to eat it. That's the essence of it. Now, the Torah used another word, bishul, to show you how important it is to stay far away from it. Now, we'll see that in the next source number 6, it's really crucial that the Torah actually used those words just from the different dinim that we know throughout the Torah with regard to other Yisurim that we have. I don't want to spend that much time on this because this is really an extensive sugya in Pesachim. But there's a klal. In source number 6, the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Chaf Aleph on the base, on page 21b, says as follows. The Amar Rabbi Vo, Kol makom shenamar lo yoichal, loy soichal, or loy soichlu, echad isra achila, echad isra anav b'mashma. Ravo is of the opinion, this is his opinion, anytime the Torah tells you clearly don't eat something, the Torah means to say don't eat it, and don't either derive any benefit from it. It's like chametz. Everything really has the same din as chametz. You can't eat it, and you can't derive any benefit from it. Now, there's an opinion who disagrees with him. Now, in the next source, which is a couple pages later in the Talmud, Rav says makes another statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. All Yisroel in the Torah, Kol Yisroel Shabbat Torah, Ein Leikin Aleim El Derech Achilase. It has to be Derech Achila. In other words, if a person's going to inhale food, some people look like that's what they're doing when they're eating. But if someone's going to inhale food or get it into his body another way, that's not derech achila, there's no problem. Another way, an example, a person eats something which is raw, he's pot. In other words, if something is forbidden to be eaten, but he eats it shalayk derech achila, in a strange way. For example, raw fat. The halacha is he's pot. The next source. However, Amar Abaya, referring to the previous discussion between Rav Avoh and Chizkiyah, because they have a disagreement, when is there a problem to benefit from something? Hakol Ma'idim, everybody agrees, B'klai Karim, by Klayim, Shalaykin Aleim, Afil Shalakadarach Hanasan, my time is from the Luxibu Achila. Interesting point, he says, since by Klayim, it doesn't specify that the Isser is an Isser of eating, so therefore, if a person benefits from Klayim, even in a backhanded way, a not normal, an abnormal way of eating, he's going to get malchus. Why? Because the Torah never uses the word achila. So I'm just introducing all this to you to get to the next line, where clearly Abaye is saying, whenever the Torah uses the word achila, even though Rav Avoh says there's a problem for a person to benefit from it, but if in absence of the word achila, then there's malchus even in an abnormal way of eating. So under normal circumstances, the Torah says don't eat something, so I can't eat it, I can't derive benefit from it. But under what conditions is there malchus? Do I get lashes for eating it? Only if I eat it in a normal way. That's only when it uses the word achila. Now, in the next Gemara, in Pesachim, Daf Chaf Hei, that's why it doesn't say achila by Basar B'chalav. The way that this Gemara seems to understand is the reason why the Torah does not use the word achila is because it would limit the amount of times you're going to get malchus from it. That means if a person eats a cheeseburger raw, now it's a technical problem because how are you going to get Basar B'chalav like that? But let's say he eats a cheeseburger in a very, very backhanded way, then there would be. Because it has to be cooked. It has to be cooked together. We'll get to that in a minute. But if it's not cooked together, then it's only also midrabanan. So you have something which is basar b'chalav, and you eat it in a backhanded way. To the point, let's say it's so hot, a person can't enjoy it. Right? Or it's whatever the case is, a person eats it in a way where it's shleik adarach achila. So, says the Gemara, he will get malchus. You know why? Because the Torah never used the word b'achila. It's not limited to achila. So that's one explanation as to why it used the word bishl instead of achila. The Rashba in source number 7. So I give you a whole bio on what the Torah Sabayas of the Rashba is. I'm not going to get into that right now. But the Rashba has a whole sefer with a Torah Sabayas. There's the commentary of the Ra'ah and the Bedek Habayas. Then the Rashba responds in Mishmer Sabayas. It's a very interesting sefer. But ultimately, he writes the reason why the Torah used the word bishel instead of using the word of achilas to teach you exactly the point that I just mentioned a second ago. What happens if a person takes a slice of cold cheese and a cold burger and he just eats it together? So we all know you're not allowed to do that. But what is under what prohibition is that? And it's midrabanan. It's only and it's midrabanan. So the Torah wanted you to know that even the Isser Achila, even the Isser to eat Basar B'chalav, is only limited to a case where it was cooked together. So the Rashba really is saying more that the Torah was telling you a Kula. Right? The first opinion that I was giving you was a very big Chumra, that you're chayav for eating Basar B'chalav, even if it's not an abnormal way of eating. The Rashba is saying the other way around. The reason why the Torah used the word Bishol is to tell you, you're only chayav for eating this, there's only a problem, mitar raisa, for eating this if it was cooked together. Okay, that's the Rashba. Now the last thing is the Sefer HaChinuch, which I think is a very important part of understanding Basar B'Chalav. Whether or not we're going to paskin like this Chinuch is irrelevant because it makes really no halachic difference. But it's an important thing to understand, I think, with regard to Basar B'Chalav and all other concepts and many other concepts in the Torah as well. Now the Chinuch, who wrote the Chinuch? Again, I included the biography from the bottom. It's not clear. One thing we know is that he was a Talmud of the Rambam, but we don't know necessarily what his name was. Many people attribute to the Ra'ah, but ultimately, he was a Levi, and he was a Talmud of the Rambam. That's what we know. He writes as follows, Mishroshei HaMitzvah. Now he's explaining the roots of this mitzvah, the Isser, of mixing Basar B'Chalav. He says, Kiyesh Po'elam, he says, it's similar to witchcraft. And he writes, Kiyesh Po'elam Devarim Shenesra Lanu Taruvasan Besiba Sa'inyin Shamarnu Sham. There are certain things in this world that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, and he told us, just don't mix these two things together. Says the Chinuch, exactly the opposite of the Rambam. The reason why it says, Loisavash Gadiba Chalevimai, you know why? It's because that is the essence of the Isser of Basar B'Chalav, is mixing these two together. Now this mixture is so bad that you shouldn't even eat it. In other words, exactly the opposite of the Rambam. Rambam says the problem of Basar B'Chalav is eating this terrible mixture. Eating it. It's something which causes a person such a bad timtum alev, it ruins his heart. When he eats it, so don't even cook it. Chinuch says exactly the opposite. There's such a bad mixture of Basar B'Chalav that certainly don't cook it. But even if it was cooked already, don't even eat it. Now, I quoted to you from Mitzvah Samach Beis where he discusses the idea of witchcraft, of a makshefa. And he writes, he spends a little bit more time, we'll read it together just to understand the way the Chinuch understands this Isser. In Seen Source number 9, it's underlined, V'inina Kishuf. The Inyan, the concept of Kishuf, of witchcraft, who lefi daiti kein. Shashem Baruch Hu, sam betchilas habriya lechol davar v'davar midvari oylam, teva lifo pulasai toiva, v'yishar l'tevas v'yadma shabara. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a lot of different things in this world. In every one of the creations that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, he gave it a mission to accomplish something positive for the people in the world. V'tziva kol echad lifol pa'aloi l'mineyu. He commanded every single one of the creations in this world to operate according to its specific purpose. K'may Shekasim, he brings Rayas upon this, Limineo al Anavroyim, each one of the creations has their purpose and with their min. So now skipped after the little period over there, Mulvad. Aside from the objective or the goal of every single one of the creations in the world that it can accomplish on its own, when you take two different creations of the world and you mix them together, it kind of evolves into a whole new idea and now it can create something entirely new. So take Klayim, for example. You have certain things which are different plants and different trees. There's Klayim Karim, there's Klayim Elamis, there's Klayim Enzroyim. But ultimately, there are different things. Each seed, each creation has its own purpose. And its purpose, sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't know what its purpose is. But ultimately, it serves as a purpose to do something. You take the two of them together and you mix them together, you could often create, through the mixture of those two things, something entirely new. That's really the whole idea of evolution, how evolution works. Is that you could have a third thing which comes out of two previous existing things. We're not getting into the whole idea of evolution. But basically, that's the idea. You could have two things, you mix them together, and a third thing comes out from it. So he writes, there are certain mixtures, there are certain creations that people have not been given permission to create. So So that's the idea that he writes by witchcraft. There are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just does not want us to mix them, because the mixture of these two things creates something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is bad for people. That's the idea that he writes by Machashefa. The Chinuch, really, he attributes the exact same thing to Basu Bachalov. He says milk and meat, the mixture of those two things together through the medium of Bishul, of cooking, creates something which is no good. Why is it no good? We have absolutely no idea why it's no good. But the Torah told us, don't cook it together. Don't mix these two things together. And that is the essence of the Isser of Basar B'chalav. It's so bad that even if it was already mixed, don't eat it. So we have two entirely opposing ideas over here between the Rambam and the Chinuch as to what is the essence of the Isser of Basar B'chalav. Rambam says the essence is that you should not eat something like this. Chinuch says the essence is, don't create such a poisonous mixture. But ultimately, everybody agrees, there's three parts to the Isser. Number one, to cook it. Number two, to eat it. And number three, to derive benefit from it. What we're going to do in the coming weeks is, we're not going to spend too much time focusing on what's called cooking, because it's very complicated. The whole idea of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, Dar Gush, all these things we discussed, a lot of them, when we learned Hilchos Shabbos. I refer you to those shiurim because many of the halachas are the same. We're going to skip next week to the idea of not necessarily talking about mixing the actual substance, but the idea of tam ke'ikar. Tam ke'ikar, the idea that the taste of something is the essence of it, is an extremely important point in all of the shilas. In other words, I have a fleishik pot. What does fleishik pot mean? Is there taste here? Now, what is the status of a fleishik pot? Is that what we call tam rishon, will define the first generation taste, second generation taste, and so on and so forth. We'll be able to get right into the idea called not bar not, which is a second generation taste. And with that, we'll be able to introduce a lot of the popular shilas that come up. And hopefully, we'll be able to solve a lot of the normal, regular, everyday kitchen shilas that most rabbanim get 6 or 7 times a week. Be able to cover a lot of those issues. We'll talk about Dabar Charef, we'll talk about onions, we'll talk about a lot of other things. We'll be able to define, really to understand a lot of what comes up on a day-to-day basis in the kitchen. Have a wonderful night.